It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
That's my wife right there. She wants to get out and she, you know, it's great.
Good morning. It's Sports Saturday. I'm kind of fired up today, man.
All right.
I gotta tell you, I was in my restaurant this morning, and my staff was pumping the Limp Bizkit in there. That's the stuff when I was actually like really working out back in like mid-20s. Like that stuff would get you going.
Early 2000s.
Yeah, you know, just jumping around.
Wait till you get older. Limp Bizkit has a whole new meaning.
Yeah, I cannot. Jesus, David. Here we go. Exactly. Every week. My, there it is. There he is. The Dave Hunter moment.
You had a little. There was a little friction last week around sort of that.
Yeah, he's over the top all the time. Right. He's annoying. It's embarrassing. Anyway,
the ratings in the show are great.
Yeah, you and I will keep it high.
We'll keep it real. All right, hey, listen, we've been talking college football last segment. You know, it's exciting day today, and who better to talk to than our good friend from the Sporting News, a national college football writer, Bill Bender, joins us live here on the TikTok Jewish guest line. Good morning, Bill.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. What's going on today? Big day for college football, huh? This must be an exciting day for you today.
Yeah, I'm down in Miami, so that's always exciting when you live in Ohio.
Awesome.
And it should be a fun game tonight. Obviously, there's three top 10 showdowns, and it's a huge day. And we already got the first shakeup last night with Stanford beating Washington, so I think there's more to come. We might be opening a little bit of a two-loss chaos for the college football playoff today.
Yeah, Bill, you know, let's talk about, before we get into some of these games today, like, what is your biggest surprise this season? I mean, I think for me, one of them has got to be Notre Dame.
Oh, yeah, that's a really good one. I mean, they have really flipped the program around. I think Michigan State's another one. Those were two programs that combined for a 7-17 record last year, and now they're both, you know, one could play for a national championship. The other could represent the Big Ten East, which also features three other pretty good schools. So I think those are two of the amazing turnarounds of the year. Mark D'Antonio is less surprising, I think, just because they're always in close games. But the way Brian Kelly has turned them into a run-heavy physical football team has been one of the biggest stories of the year. You're absolutely right.
With some of the chaos that's been going on with this season and some of the teams that have turned things around, as we look at moving forward, you mentioned two lost teams. Who is the two lost team who has the most to gain today? I mean, is it Michigan State? Is it Iowa? Is it Oklahoma State? Where do you see today shaking out? And who has the best two lost team moving forward that has a real chance here?
I mean, Auburn has the best opportunity of the schedule in front of them. You know, they play Georgia and Alabama at home, and they still can win the SEC West. So I think they're one. I think Ohio State and Michigan State, the winner there, because, you know, that Big Ten division, there's four really good programs in one division, and Wisconsin's not getting any respect as an undefeated school. So I think that's an opportunity for all of those two-loss teams. I mean, Penn State's in trouble because they lost two games, and Michigan the same. But any one of those four schools has an opportunity over the next few weeks.
Alabama and Mississippi State played today. Alabama's really banged up. Does Mississippi State have a shot at this game?
I mean, yeah, if Alabama doesn't adjust, I'm still not buying the upset because I think Alabama will do enough on the other end to win the game. It could get wild for a little bit, but, I mean, we'll see. I mean, that's what you got to watch the first quarter and a half is how Alabama's linebackers adjust to not having Sean John Hamilton around. And, you know, they've lost, it seems like, five or six linebackers, but if there's any school that can withstand that, it's somebody with the 4- and 5-star talent they have accumulated like Alabama.
Bill, Jake and I were talking earlier before we were kind of pumping up your segment with you, and we were talking about what I would love personally, and Jake agrees with me, which is always fun when somebody agrees with me, because most of the time when Bernie's here, Jake, nobody agrees with me.
True.
Okay, it's just me by myself here. But I'm a huge fan of the college basketball setting, the way we have all those teams that come together for that tournament. What's your take on, obviously now we've got a bunch of teams now that have a playoff, but how special would it be for college football if there was a 16-team tournament? You know, and these two lost teams and, you know, could get into these things, because you feel like now you lose one or two games in your season, especially if you're a power cut team and you're a team that's trying to win a national championship, it's basically over if you lose a game or two. I mean, if you look at Miami Notre Dame tonight, one of those teams, whatever team loses today, is pretty much out.
Well, that's why it's such a good game, though.
No, I agree.
Because it's late November. I mean, if this was just Miami Notre Dame for 7 and 11 seed, that's no fun. I mean, that's, I think 16 would be too many. I'm open to 8, just because, and 3 years ago, I wasn't even open to that. I think if you did eight teams, you could get all the Power Five champions in. You could get a group of five school in and maybe two wild cards. And I think that would keep enough people happy. And I would also put the first round on campus. I think that'd be awesome. So I think when you have those, that model would be fair. But 16, you're getting into having college kids play 16 games. And I just don't see the need for that.
Do you see it going to eight? Do you see something like that happening where it could go to eight games? Eight teams?
Not in the near future. I mean, you know, talking to Bill Hancock last year at the playoff, there's no movement on that. And I don't think we'll see anything close to that till at least 2025, because unless there's like a couple nuclear chaos years. The reason I say that is, I mean, remember, we had to wait from 1998 to 2014 to get to four. And that was 16 years. So it wouldn't surprise me if they have to wait till another 16 years to get to eight, if that's the next step.
Talk to me about Wisconsin and where they stand, and sort of and relate it back to getting two SEC teams into the playoff. We were having this conversation earlier, and I think there's a real possibility you end up with some combination of Auburn, Alabama, Georgia, two of them getting in. How do you think that shakes out?
Well, we'll see. I think if Georgia and Alabama play in the SEC championship with undefeated records, that the score in that game will matter. It will matter the chaos around them. I think it's a very real possibility. I don't think, you know, Auburn can obviously blow that up. But, I mean, that they've taken care of their business on the field. It should be a really good game, 1-2. But it'd be interesting to see how they split them up after that.
Bill, you're down in Miami. We're sitting up here in the snowy Northeast here. You know, I'm going to watch that game tonight, 8 o'clock on ABC. But give us an idea what it's like to be at a game as big and as special in a place like Miami for Notre Dame tonight.
Oh, yeah. I mean, for a kid like me, I mean, when I was growing up, this was the game.
Yep.
You know, I went to a Catholic school in Ohio. This was it was a big deal whenever these two played, and there was animosity, and it's fun. I mean, Miami, Notre Dame, if I had one word for it, it's fun seeing these two teams go on the field, because it conjures up all that nostalgia that's good for college football. I think when both teams are up and running, it's good for college football, and we're seeing that. So, I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, but give us an idea what the atmosphere is like. You obviously go to a lot of these. I mean, we've got some great college sports here in Vermont, but we don't have the big-time college football. What's it like when you walk into an arena tonight? How rowdy will it be in Miami when this game starts?
Well, that's what, you know, talking to their SID yesterday, they're anticipating an electric atmosphere. It's Miami, so it'll be fun regardless. I think, yeah, this is one of those. I'm so used to the Big Ten type sure. giant atmospheres at Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State. I mean, I was at the whiteout when Penn State beat Michigan earlier this season, and I would say this will probably be comparable to that in terms of, you know, loud and swarming atmosphere and those kind of things.
Bill, as always, we appreciate your insight, buddy. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll be watching.
Hey, absolutely. Thanks so much for having
me
on.
Man. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
You know, I'll tell you, and he's, you know, he's absolutely right, but man, and I get, like, you know, you don't want to have kids playing 16 games, but man, I mean, not all of them are going to play 16 games.
No, it's really not. I think that's not as much of an issue as people make it out
there. I mean, you know, and you're playing for a champion. Even if you got to take a game or two off the schedule, I guess. I don't know. Figure it out. I mean, how awesome would that be? And I got to tell you, though, I can't imagine the atmosphere is what it's going to be like down at all these games today. I mean,
it's going to be nuts.
We didn't even go over the Oklahoma-TCU game. Right. We talked a little bit about the Alabama game, Iowa, Wisconsin, Georgia-Auburn. There's a lot of good games today.
There's absolutely some great games. Yeah, Miami's going to be crazy. I mean, there's already footage, you know, on Twitter and different places of the crowds and the people walking the streets. And Danny Cannell was walking around filming stuff, getting a hard time, of course, from all the Miami fans.
Sure.
But it's just a blast. I mean, they are fired up.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. And I got to tell you, and I want to save some of my Notre Dame stuff for Tyler James' second half.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
You know, I mean, what this Notre Dame team has done in a year is absolutely amazing. And you know, if Brian Kelly would have just trusted Wimbush a little bit against Georgia, they would have beat Georgia too. I mean, they had Georgia beaten and they had the ball.
Yeah.
And he was so conservative the first couple of weeks with Wimbush. It's really unfortunate because, I mean, I remember screaming at my television there, like, let the kid go a little
bit.
Right. Like, what do you got to lose? You know, and Georgia, we didn't know Georgia wasn't, you know, we didn't know what they were then. They were an up and coming team then, but they had a chance to be undefeated.
Yeah. To your point about the playoff system, I mean, I think that a little bit of that plays a role in those scenarios because the coaches are thinking, what I want most here is a close loss, right? Like, it's already in their mind, I think, when it comes to play calling and in the game situations, they're thinking, we're okay if this is close.
Yeah, but hey, Brian, guess what, buddy? You have a couple point lead with like 8 minutes to play. Right. It's going to be close. Yeah. Even if throws a pick six, it's going to be close. Yeah. Okay, so like maybe you go win that. Maybe go win that football game. You. But I think the Notre Dame story is very interesting. Obviously, an iconic program like Notre Dame football, to get them back in the national scene is a big deal. I think going into the season and having the opportunity to have Michigan be a potential championship team, obviously it hasn't happened for Jim Harbaugh. And what's going on with Jim Harbaugh's glasses? Is he trying to go Woody Hayes on us
he's
at Ohio State?
Man.
He really is. I remember as a kid, I used to love him as a quarterback. I remember him playing for the Indianapolis Colts, and I remember he had that one year where he kind of ran them into the playoffs. Thinking, he's like an odd cat.
He's very odd.
He is. It's just funny, but I watch him like, what's up with these glasses?
And it's funny because his brother seems pretty normal.
Yeah, pretty. Yeah, I mean,
John,
I don't know what's
like normal.
Yeah,
and Jim
he's
is
so intense.
Out there.
It's crazy.
Out there.
It really is. But listen, when you look at all these power teams that are getting back into the fold, it's always a lot of fun because honestly, I mean, I understand I've got a close friend that's a huge Alabama fan. He's probably going to run in here and punch me if I hit it, but I'm so sick of Alabama.
Right.
And I hear about the SEC and I look at the SEC and I think, okay. You know, but I mean, I'm not as in awe of the SEC anymore as I think we were kind of created to think it was a few years ago. And I mean, I understand what Alabama brings to the table, but man, I look at that conference overall and I think,
Yeah, I mean, they went on like a 10-12 year run, right? I mean, everything has a life cycle. Yeah. And certainly I think they've come off the other side of the life cycle. And it was so dominant for so long. And then that's not this year. What's happened this year
It wasn't last year or the year before that either.
No, fair. It's been a couple years coming, but that's what I mean. It peaked and now it's sort of on the decline. But what happened this year is not that they're that great per se. It's that everybody else let down, right? Like USC let down and Oklahoma State let down and Oklahoma, even for that matter, let
down. Doesn't the Pac-12 let down every year?
That is correct.
I mean, the Pac-12, I mean, be honest.
Nobody stepped up.
One team in the Pac-12 that's been relevant in the last, I mean, I can't think.
Nobody.
I mean, in USC really? Used to be a power. I mean, I think, and again, I think it's good for college football when USC is a powerhouse.
I
think it's good for college football when Michigan is a powerhouse, when Notre Dame, when Miami, you know, Miami, Florida, when Alabama, I think it's good. I really hope that there's not two SEC teams, and I like to see that in this playoff. I'd like to see a little bit of a broader range. That's just me personally. You get to SEC, it's like overkill for me.
I'm good with it.
But I want Notre Dame in it, man. I want Notre Dame.
How about we get
thing.
Notre Dame? Well, no, I guess we can't get Notre Dame and Miami in. What if Miami loses today but wins the ACC championship?
Done. As long as
we get a rematch.
Can you imagine that? That'd be a lot of.
I'm
psyched about tonight's game.
That'll
I really am. I'm jacked up about it.
It's
going to be fun. All right, take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to move from college football to Vermont high school football with Ponch and John from the Free Press. Alex Abrami and Austin Danforth, they're going to join us live next.